Live from the In the Room studios located in the Net Carrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all to another exciting edition of VOC Nation Rubbed Raw. We're coming off, we're now 8 days removed from WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan not there because he's on vacation. The start of an Intercontinental tournament, a number one contenders tournament, and the reformation of a group that some people are very excited about and other people are a little blasé. Let me introduce our panel for tonight. Joining me, as always, it seems, my right-hand man on In the Room Tuesday nights right here, VOCNation.com, Derek McDonald. What's going on, Derek?
What's happening, Brady? You're not excited? Triple H brought his boys back. I think all three of them have their shovels. You're not excited about that?
I'm excited about certain things, sure, but you know what? I'm one of those guys, we'll get into this in a little bit, but I'm one of those guys that always wants a little bit more. You know, I wanted a little bit of that bleached hair, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
You know, I wanted their heart. I wanted their heart there with them, in a way. Joining us also on the line, making his debut for the VOC Nation Radio Network. This is a surreal moment for me. He's a good friend of mine, my former/current broadcast colleague on the independent circuit, and an all-around great guy. I'm talking with, from Hell in a Cell, Talk Radio Network, Dean Dixon. What's going on, Dean?
I am very happy to be here, and you never thought you would see Bischoff shake hands and hug Vince McMahon, but it's happening here tonight on the VOC Nation.
It's surreal to me, and I'm sure a lot of you guys listening would think the same thing. That if Bruce were to go back in September when he wasn't really even talking to me, to think that just within 6 months that he would be having a show hosted on his network by me with you here. Dean, it's like when a WWF star, Taz, defended the ECW title against a WCW star. Or, I'm sorry, he won the title from a WCW star.
Yes. Yes, that's what happened. You're talking about that infamous edition of SmackDown so many years ago. Brady, you can find me at Folsom County. I always have to throw that in. I need to throw that in the Twitter handle. You can find me, of course, at Folsom County. But, Brady, it was a great show tonight. Where are we starting with this?
There are so many places that I want to start. First of all, let me give out the number for anyone that wants to call in. Toll-free 855-VOC-RADIO. That's 855-862-7234. That is the voice of choice's dime, not mine. Backdoor number, if that's not working right now, 914-338-1885. So that's how you get a hold of us, myself, Dean, and Derek. Going to be talking Raw until midnight tonight. Little Raw for the Long Island people, Derek. They call it Raw, don't they?
Some do. I don't have that accent, but apparently
okay.
Some people do.
Apparently. So tonight, guys, the reformation of evolution. And Derek, you brought it up right at the top of the show. I am excited to a certain extent. What struck me as the funniest thing of all, I think, is evolution, to me, is what skyrocketed Batista into what he became there for a couple years. And he's back to being just a nameless face in that group.
You believe? I mean, there's nothing else they can do with the guy. He's obviously not going to be champion. You're not going to have him wrestling guys like Bad News Barry. So I guess the best thing you could do was to put him next to the boss and next to Randy Orton, and you know, hopefully they bring in Ric Flair and he can stand by ringside and sweat through, you know, his jackets and his T-shirts and go crazy. And this is the best-case scenario for Batista.
Dean, your thoughts on Batista Randy Orton and Triple H realigning on Raw. I mean, this is a group that I think people were excited about many, many years ago.
I like Evolution getting back together. Kind of to Derek's point, though, it doesn't seem that they had a very good plan for Batista. I think the plan was that the fans would get behind him at Royal Rumble. In fact, he said this in interviews, that he was coming in as a face. He disagreed with it, but they said, no, we're going to push you along as a face. You're going to win the Rumble. And I think the idea was he was going to win the title at WrestleMania. That didn't happen. The Yes Movement really picked up steam after the Royal Rumble, rather. And they were kind of backed themselves in a corner. But getting back to the point, these guys getting back together, it does kind of seem that they're kind of in limbo in a way. What's the end result of this for both Orton, who just is coming off a title reign, for Batista, who came back presumably to win the title, and for Triple H, who isn't even a full-time wrestler anymore? That's my question.
Well, I mean, obviously, the foreseeable future, what we're looking at is a six-man tag match with the Shield, and it seems to me as if it would make sense to have the Shield come out of that feud on top. Maybe, I've heard rumblings, Derek, maybe a War Games match or something down the line?
I mean, we could only wish for it. I think the end game is going to be Triple H, you know, jobbing to Roman Reigns. I think that's what they want the end game to be. But if I can get a War Games out of this, especially the last War Games I saw, which featured Diamond Dallas Page and the late great Ultimate Warrior, you know, in WCW, if they can erase that match out of my mind and do it with the Shield of Evolution, I'm all for it.
Is it official that it would be a War Games, or would it be just a six-man Hell in a Cell?
I mean,
that's the thing. I think that might be the closest thing we get to a War Games, is having all six guys in the Hell in a Cell, which I'll take at this point.
I suppose that the entire War Games idea is just something that the fans keep bringing up that they certainly want to see, but it doesn't seem like WWE, for whatever reason, is too keen on it.
I think it's more a setup issue, getting two rings in there, from what I understood.
But does it have to be two rings? I never understood why they needed two rings.
Well, just for more room to cause the casualties. I don't know. I mean, we've seen in various independent promotions where War Games does work with simply the cage and one ring. So maybe take something from the indies that you can get it done with just the cage and the ring.
It'll be interesting to see no matter what, but I think the biggest thing we can take from Evolution, and I'm curious by your guys' thoughts by this. Dean, you did kind of allude to it in a way, but you've got Batista. You're not really doing much with him right now. You've got Randy Orton, kind of the same thing. He was the face of the company there for 7 or 8 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a nameless, faceless lackey at this point. You've got the boss, you've got Triple H, but he's at best a part-time guy, like Brock Lesnar, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's at Raw, but he's not fighting every week. So where do you go from here? You know, is it a matter of this is just for one pay-per-view, or are we looking at maybe add another younger guy and build something for this down the line?
I don't see this. You don't reform a faction like Evolution to simply do it for a pay-per-view, unless they implode during said pay-per-view, which would be Extreme Rules. So to me, I don't think that it works if you reform them and it's just a blow-off to the next feud. But then again, what are you going to do with them? I think that's a question that a lot of people have at this point.
Derek, final thoughts on Evolution before we move on?
Like I said, there's nothing else to do with the guys. I guess the Shield gets the rub. It makes them seem like bigger stars. But I won't be 100% happy until they bring in the Nature Boy and just let him go crazy. Once they bring in Flair, if they bring in Flair, then they can have my money.
Well, you know what? I'm sorry about the cough there, guys. It seems like it's never going to go away. That wasn't the only thing to happen on Raw. There were a few kind of newsworthy items. The biggest one for me, aside from the formation of Evolution, is the tribute paid at the beginning of the show. It was a real emotional thing. I know some members of my show in the room were on our little intranet there talking about how they're bawling their eyes out watching the daughters of Warrior, you know, kissing their dad and him talking about them being the greatest thing in his life. And it's so hard to believe that just 1 week ago we're watching the Ultimate Warrior talking about his legacy living on forever. And now, this week, we're doing tributes like we haven't seen since Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit died. Dean, your thoughts on the passing of the Ultimate Warrior? Who, by the way, for the record, Nancy Grace was a little bit right about. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out here.
Yeah.
I think the Nancy Grace thing is certainly the sensitivity of the internet wrestling community getting the best of them. I'm not going to go too much further into that, but Warrior, I've written a few articles about Warrior. I've talked a lot about it. And the thing to me is I'm just so happy that he had a chance to come back on his terms and have that weekend before he passed. Because before that, you had that horrible DVD that came out, The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior, of course.
Right.
And of the entire catalog of the WWE DVD catalog, there's only one hatchet job in there, and that is that DVD. Everything else is very positive, even if the person has had an on-again, off-again relationship. I'm talking superstar Billy Graham. I'm talking Bruno has always been talked about in good terms before he went in the Hall of Fame even. So it was always kind of weird. It was like that redheaded stepchild, for lack of a better term, that was in the catalog. So luckily he got to come back, because for me personally, the way I looked at that DVD is if you have Hogan and Ted DiBiase, especially Ted DiBiase, who is a man of God, strangely enough, who really ripped apart the Ultimate Warrior the most in that DVD. If you have a guy like that, and that's the legacy that you kind of forget the legacy that he had. Now, granted, it was only 2 or 3 years at the top of the business, but those 2 or 3 years were some very fond memories.
Tremendous.
And luckily, we got to remember that on his own terms. They put out a new DVD, the tribute tonight, the Hall of Fame weekend. So it's a tremendous loss, really, because he was going to become an ambassador for WWE. He said that during his Hall of Fame speech. So it's a tremendous loss for WWE, and hopefully they can learn something about bitter feelings, wrestling as a whole, maybe, holding on to bitter feelings over nothing, really, you know. But I guess that's my final. His legacy will live on, thank goodness, because of this Hall of Fame weekend. And if there's any way to go out, he went out at the top, respected by his peers and respected by Vince McMahon, and rightfully in the Hall of Fame.
You know, it's funny that, and by the way, Derek, I want to get your thoughts, but I do want to say it's funny that a company would do such a classless thing as to create an entire DVD designed almost as if to send a personal message to one guy, you know, to just bury him publicly. It's the equivalent of, like, being fired by an open public letter is essentially what it was. He was essentially, the Ultimate Warrior was for so many years blackballed from the industry, and as many bad things as you want to say about Triple H, not only did he work actively to get Warrior back into the family, you know, to get Warrior in for this Hall of Fame. Obviously, no one could have known the circumstances that were surrounding it, but he did the right thing, in spite of some of the bad things that he said about him. One of the things that really struck me during Warrior's speech was he made that comment about Hunter. He called him Paul, and he said something about, like, how Paul said, I was only around him for 5 minutes, and I knew he was an asshole. And Warrior, I loved his response. I loved the fact that WWE actually allowed him to say what he thought about these different guys if he wanted to. He said, "Wow, for only being around me for 5 minutes, you sure did learn a lot, didn't you, Hunter?" I love that, Derek. I love the fact that WWE was at least classy enough to allow the Warrior to have the final say in his career.
Before we get there, I just want to make I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. You're fine.
But before we get there, I just want to say he did the same thing with Bruno Sammartino too. Triple H was the one who really worked that Bruno Sammartino deal.
Sure.
As well. But go ahead, Derek. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say it's you brought up the fact he took his little shot at Triple H. He also took a shot at, you know, Teddy Biasi, who on that DVD would always talk about how bad of a worker he was. And during his speech, he made sure to point out to Ted, you know, "I learned how to do those terrible clotheslines from you clotheslining me the same way." You know,
right.
Me and Sting came into the territory. But I'm just glad he got to see how much people appreciated him. He got to come back to the company on his own terms. And another way, it's kind of sad because the same send-off that he got, Macho Man deserved, and whatever pettiness between, you know, Savage and the company got in the way of him getting his truce and send-off. So I'm glad Warrior got it. Now that Warrior's in and Brett's in and Bruno's in, I don't think there's too many other guys who, other than Jeff Jarrett, who have been blackballed from the company, you know, that they haven't made amends with yet. And I think that has a lot to do with Triple H. I think he doesn't hold Vince's old grudges against guys. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Goldberg somehow become a part of the company in a way. He's like one of the last few guys they kind of haven't done business with since, you know, the run came to an end. But, the Warrior deserved it. It was a very classy thing they did. I don't usually cry. I got kind of teary-eyed a little bit, you know, the little six-year-old Derek in me. But it was a great send-off for the guy. He deserved it.
I agree. And, Beth, by the way, we have a caller on the line. We'll get to you in a minute, buddy. But, I forget where I was going with it. Let's go to the line right now. I totally forget what I was going to say there, but it's fine. Before I bring you on, Rat Boy, now, Dean, please, Dean, we're going to keep a decorum here. Rat Boy has he's peed into a cup tonight. We know that he's sober. We know that he's clean. Rat Boy, your thoughts on the death of the Ultimate Warrior?
It was shocking to me because I seen it online. I said, it can't be, right? I had to browse through the all over the internet to find out if it was true or not.
Now, how do you feel about the way WWE paid tribute to him tonight?
Tonight, I think it was one of the best ones that I ever had. Everybody was out there. They should have done a little bit more.
Well, you know what, Rat Boy, I'm going to cut you off there. Thank you for calling. I have heard that they should have done more. But, I mean, I looked at it like they did it perfectly because they mixed in the Warrior stuff with, you know, it wasn't an entire show dedicated to Warrior. I think that would have been a little hypocritical in a way, but it was nice. It was a classy thing, and I think that – And by the way, I do remember what I was going to say. I'll get to that in a second. But it was a classy way to send the Warrior off, much like Savage should have had, exactly like you said.
To your point, though, if you have the network, and I assume most listeners tuning in have the network, this whole week is dedicated to the Warrior. So,
right.
10 o'clock every night on the network, a different Ultimate Warrior vignette.
And they ran all this stuff down, so if you have the network, definitely go and check that out. My point from earlier that I kind of lost there, I got absent-minded there for a second, but I feel like that Hunter, in running the company, I feel like he's able to mend a lot of bridges that Vince wouldn't necessarily have been able to. Just by virtue of the fact that it's not Vince making the call, you know, it's not Vince making the decisions all the time now. And on top of that, Hunter being a wrestler, being a worker, you know, he's going to be respected by his peers to a degree that a promoter might not necessarily. So I think that that is a good thing that that the company is kind of back in the hands of a worker, you know, somebody who understands the ins and outs of the mindsets of a lot of these old time guys, and somebody who was instilled with a respect for the business much deeper than Vince McMahon has probably ever had.
Yeah, certainly. I agree with that as well. Although McMahon has gained his respect to some of those matches that he's had. He's bled. He's taken hellacious back bumps on tables. So he probably has a lot of respect, too.
I you know what? You're absolutely right. What I want to do now, guys, is we're going to take a commercial break real quick. It's just a quick 2-minute break. But when we come back on the other side, I want to talk about the number one contender tournament, which was started tonight. I think it was a good thing. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the guys that were in it and who's going over so far, but I think it's I agree with it in concept, and I'll talk about that on the other side. We have the new Divas Champion Paige making her first title defense tonight.
Yeah.
Couple more things I want to talk about before we get out of here, but we'll be right back on the other side, guys. This is the VOC Wrestling Nation.
This is CeeLo Brown, and right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Now recognize that.
Hey, guys, Grady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, vocnation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident-free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Hey, I'm the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and, of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pass the car keys
to Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
All right, 855 VOC Radio. That's 855-862-7234. I am Brady Hicks from Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I have with me from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network the Dean of Credibility, Dean Dixon, at Folsom County on Twitter. Derek McDonald from In the Room. And guys, you know, we talked Warrior, and we talked the Reformation of Evolution there, but I want to talk about this Intercontinental Tournament. This number one contendership spot is on the line, and Dean, you expressed your opinions to me. Real quick, just tell everybody why you think this is a mistake that they're having this tournament here this tonight, that they started this.
It's not necessarily a mistake, but I just don't see the need for a contendership for a number one contendership for the title. They said during the pre-show that Christian was the number one contender. He's injured, so they're going to have this tournament to fill that contendership. It just, that title doesn't mean much anymore. And these guys are battling. What has Big E done, in my estimation, that guys have to fight for this chance to battle him? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Derek, your thoughts?
The idea of the tournament I understand, but if we're going to think rational, which you shouldn't do with WWE, technically, shouldn't Bray Wyatt be getting the title match because he pinned the champion last week? Or maybe Del Rio should be getting it because he pinned the champion the week before that? Isn't that how things used to work with the belt? But the belt means nothing. I mean, Big E was positioned to be, you know, the next young breakout star along with The Shield and all these guys. And the minute they put the belt on that guy, he just lost all his steam. It's like once you win the belt, you become a jobber. And that's a shame because that belt should mean something.
It is funny to think about it that, like, winning the belt is actually, like, bad news. And not just that belt, but the United States title as well. I mean, that belt signified the end of Dean Ambrose as the leader of the Shield, essentially.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why I like this tournament. And we're going to throw out past mistakes or whatever, past misbookings here, because all you can really do is focus on what they did this week. And this week, what they did is they said, this Intercontinental belt is going to start to matter. I mean, if you think about it, Big E Langston, he won the Intercontinental belt at a time when there were two world titles, right?
Yeah.
So there was a significantly lower number of challengers for his belt. I mean, who did he beat for it? The Miz? Somebody like that?
I don't remember.
Well, there you go. He beat Curtis Axel for the belt. I forgot that Curtis Axel even had the belt, but you're absolutely right. I remember he won it on Father's Day last year, and he held it for about 6 months or whatever. It says to me that they're trying to make the Intercontinental belt important again. And not only are they doing that with a tournament, but they're putting like five or six former world champions in there. These are guys who used to be competing for the world title, but the world title is no longer available to them because there's only one unified world champion. So now you've got Del Rio, you've got Mark Henry, you've got Sheamus, you've got RVD. There was at least one or two others that were former world champions that I can't remember off the top of my head, but whoever comes out on top, they're vying for a shot at the Intercontinental belt. And that's a very good thing for the Intercontinental title because it automatically places it as the second most important title in the company again. And that's what they needed. They've needed that for a long, long time now, but especially now more than ever, with only one unified world champion. Your thoughts, Dean?
Well, Derek, go ahead. I want to see what Derek says, then I'll comment.
I mean, how many times are they going to reset this title to mean something? I mean, Cody Rhodes debuted the belt, and that was supposed to be the new beginning. Brought up Curtis Axel when he won the title, and it was on Father's Day, and he was a Paul Heyman guy, and the crowd went crazy, and then next thing you know, he's jobbing to CM Punk, and he doesn't matter. They put it on Big E, the next hot thing, and all of a sudden doesn't matter on him. It's like every time they try to reset the title, they care for a week or two, and then the next week it's like, oh, yeah, it's the IC strap. It doesn't matter, and then it doesn't matter anymore. I'll believe it when I see it, but I have no faith in them to hold this title up to any kind of prestige that it had once had in the past. It's just a prop.
Well, you know what? It is a prop, and Dean, I'll get to you in a second. But at the same time, all those other resets that they've had in the last 10 years were when they had two world champions. So now the Intercontinental belt is like a three or a four down the ladder, you know? You've got guys like Santino Marella contending for it before, or The Miz, or Kofi Kingston. Now you've got, as I mentioned, you've got Alberto Del Rio and Sheamus and guys like that. I think any sort of a reset that they do is gotta have stronger legs. That's how I feel.
It really depends who they put it on, though. Who comes out of this tournament. If it's somebody that's hot, like Cesaro, sure. But if it's Barrett, I think that would be a step in the right direction, even though he's a former two-time Intercontinental Champion. It really depends the direction they take the belt.
I agree with that. And by the way, guys, we're almost out of time here. A couple more quick hits, a couple things I want to mention from Raw tonight. New Divas Champion, Paige. I've had the chance to check her out a few times on NXT now. Very impressed. And her first title defense tonight against Alicia Fox. No AJ there, by the way, Derek. No AJ.
Yeah. I like
exactly.
I like Paige. She can wrestle. Alicia Fox has gotten better. She's one of the few girls they've had who's gotten better. Emma can actually wrestle. So they, you know, we talked about on In the Room how they had like not only a handful of females who can actually wrestle. I think if you focus on the girls who can wrestle, you kind of phase out the Rosa Mendez and the girls who are just there to be eye candy. They can have something that resembles a women's division, something respectable. Paige is a good start. I don't know where she goes from here, but like I said, at least she can chew bubble gum and tie her laces and run the ropes and all that good stuff without killing herself. So it's a good start.
Just running the ropes in and of itself is a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Paige is a step in the right direction of getting the Divas back to wrestling, back to the days of Trish Stratus, Lita, Victoria. I think it's a very positive step for that division that languished for the past possibly 10 years.
The daughter of sweet Saraya Knight there, Dean. You know?
Yes.
It's an exciting thing.
It is.
It's
By the way,
Brady,
talk about Saraya Knight. I'm not afraid of too many females in this world. That's a very scary lady. She's very scary. So that's what I think about her.
I mean, I saw her pretty much manhandle Awesome Kong, so I can understand. a couple more things from Raw tonight I just want to mention. John Cena getting the verbal best of the Wyatt family this week. I always love when they do those little Photoshop deals, Dean. It's always a good time. Always
not,
original.
Not a fan. Not a fan of Cena's, well, I guess it's not really Cena's form of humor, but the writer's form of humor. not a big fan of that. And you want to talk about people losing so much momentum. I can't think of anybody. Bray Wyatt started out this year pinning Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble, and now look, where is the Wyatt family now? I think there was a huge missed opportunity at WrestleMania to put Bray Wyatt over John Cena, and I think that was a missed opportunity.
Well, we all know how I feel. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, we know. I don't understand this. Like, the last 2 weeks leading up to Mania, John Cena cut the picture-perfect promos for these type of, you know, this match with Bray. And then it seems like, I guess, the writers, like Dean said, they just absolutely forget all that stuff and turn him into hokey John Cena again. And I just don't get it. The guy, he can be a great promo if you just let him go out there and do it, and they just refuse to let the guy do it. And now nobody's going to take this match seriously unless they change something drastically by next Monday.
Well, what would you have them change by next Monday? What would you do?
I don't know. Have the guy cut a serious promo. Have him take it serious. Something. He's going to be in a cage match. Like, remember when cage matches meant something? Like, now he's just joking about it. Like, why? If he doesn't care, he's going to be in the cage. Why should I care? Now, I already bought my tickets. Like a dummy, so I'm going to the show. But why would I care about the cage match if he doesn't care?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was all good with John Cena winning at WrestleMania 30 because of the whole legacy thing and the big stars are supposed to win, but they needed to take it from there, you know? That needed to just be one little battle in the overall war that Bray Wyatt needed to win. And maybe they do have visions of Bray Wyatt winning that war, I don't know. But I will say that things aren't looking good based on what I'm seeing. And I think that's enough said about that. Dean Dixon, final thoughts on Raw before we get out of here.
It was a passable edition of Raw. They're trying to lead it to the next pay. Well, they're not pay per views anymore. The next special event on the network.
Special attraction.
Yeah, and as far as that, you have an interesting thing with Evolution coming back. You have the Divas division. If there's a Divas match on the pay-per-view, I'm interested. You have Big E taking on most likely Cesaro for the Intercontinental title at Extreme Rules. So there's things to look forward to coming out of this, but it was the way they got there. It was a little disjointed is the best way I can put it. They need to do a better job, as Derek said, next week, especially with Cena and Wyatt, because, like I said, the guy has just lost so much momentum since WrestleMania.
And hopefully they'll find ways to fix that next week and moving forward. Derek, your final thoughts on this week's Raw, 8 days out from WrestleMania.
I tell you what, Brady. I bought tickets to Extreme Rules. And we all know my track record when it comes to watching WWE, from Scooby-Doo to Michael Strahan to Cindy Lauper, we all know. If I go to this godforsaken state that we know as New Jersey, and this show is terrible, I will never, ever, ever spend another dime on WWE. It's looking pretty good. It's kind of sketchy a little bit, but I kind of have my doubts, but I think they're going in the right direction. They're using the young guys to build the company up. And like we said before, you got to applaud and tip your cap to Triple H.
Well, Derek, I did want to tell you, now that you have the tickets, I don't know if you saw this, but just breaking on WWE.com, Miley Cyrus will be hosting Extreme Rules.
You know, it's bad enough I'm probably going to see Daniel Bryan versus Kane. Like, that's probably going to be the title match. But hopefully the rest of the card is okay.
I'm thinking we're looking at a 4-on-4 match, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, Derek, people can catch you Tuesday nights on In the Room right here, VOC Nation Radio Network. Tomorrow night, Derek, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, but former WCW referee Billy Silverman.
Ooh.
No idea what he did. I'm going to have to look that stuff
up. Gosh, say it on the air.
I know the name, but I was a WWF guy, you know. But I'm excited.
Luckily, you have the network, Brady.
Exactly.
That's a great idea, actually. I'll be able to check out all that stuff, and for sure, I'm excited about that. Dean Dixon, Wednesday nights, not 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Tell us about Hell in a Cell. What's going on this week?
This week we have a young up and comer by the name of Alex Bet on Black. He's a fighter for Legacy fighting for Legacy Fighting Championships out of Texas. It's a somewhat national company, but it's still considered a regional because they primarily do the Southwest. But he'll be on. We're going to be talking about Raw as well, if I'm not pooped out from it. Talk about CZW Best of the Best. And more information on that, you can go to HICTalkRadio.com. And, of course, follow me at Folsom County.
And also, Dean, you have other shows on your network as well, right? I mean, you have the Obey the Puck hockey podcast, correct?
Yes, we have Obey the Puck. That's Monday nights at 9. We also have Moose Knuckle Radio on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. That's kind of an entertainment podcast. And then the crown jewel is, of course, HIC Talk Radio, but another crown jewel is After Midnight with CZW ring announcer and actually now commentator, MLJ. And we talk about whatever floats our boat. I think this week we're going to be debating the top five WrestleManias or something. It came out last time he was on the main show on Wednesday. So we have that looking actually in a week. That's on the 19th. We'll be doing that. So a lot of exciting stuff. So
everybody go check that out. blogtalkradio.com/hellinacell. Check out all that great programming, HIACTalkRadio.com, at Folsom County on Twitter. I'm Brady Hicks with Derek McDonald and Dean Dixon. Thank you for listening to Rubbed Raw this week on the VOC Nation Radio Network. We'll be back next week. Next week on the panel, we will have Dean Compton. We'll be back once again. We will have Dean, your co-host on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, Dan Colachico.
Oh, boy.
And also Ryan Mays will be joining us with his insight as well. Ryan Mays from Compton After Dark and other fine programs. So check that out as well. We'll be back next week, 11:30 Eastern. Check us out on In the Room tomorrow. Check out Hell in a Cell on Wednesday. All the great shows on both networks. And we'll be back. Well, we'll see you guys when we see you. Take care.